Before you're seated, we want to take you to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, please. And we'll be continuing in our series of great Bible stories that every kid should know. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, for our scripture reading, just a few verses to get us started in the story of Esau and Jacob. Two brothers, Esau and Jacob. Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll start with verse 14 and read on down to verse 17. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. God gives us a puzzle in the story of Esau and Jacob. And this is a puzzle piece that helps to put the border together of what the story is about. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the blessing of looking to the Word of God, to hold it in our hands, and to be refreshed. Father, the teachings and the warnings that are illustrated by Esau and Jacob are very poignant for our day. You do not want anyone to fall short of the grace of God. You do not want a root of bitterness to spring up into trouble. You do not want a person to become someone who is loose in morals, nor someone who is profane, who has no spiritual understanding. And you give this warning that Esau lost his focus and had no focus on that which was spiritual. And even when he, in a human term, sought repentance, it was not to be found. Lord, I ask that you would teach us lessons today in this great Bible story that will encourage and challenge and give us a blessing as we walk home from here, that there is a lesson for our day in the year 2007 from two brothers who had too little of an understanding of what you wanted them to see. Teach us, Father, and may we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as you do so, turn back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 25 and 27, these two chapters, give us the story of Esau and Jacob. Now, we don't have the time today to read through the entirety of it, so it would be worth doing. I'm sure that you've heard the story of Esau and Jacob, two brothers who had these difficulties. Now, as you think about this story, think about what you have heard in the Bible stories, the Sunday school lessons, the time in the past, what you heard about Isaac, what you heard about Rebekah, what you heard about Esau, and what you heard about Jacob. And think about the things that usually stand out. There's Isaac in trying to give this blessing to Esau. Why would he do that? Why would Esau sell what was so great in value to his brother for simply a meal? Why would Jacob appear to be such a deceiver? And if Rebekah really loved Isaac, why would she try to deceive Isaac? And what happened to all this? Doesn't it feel like God just has put a whole puzzle in front of you and you wonder where you're going with all this? All the puzzle pieces are all jumbled together and you gotta, how do you approach the puzzle? You have to build the border first, find the trade pieces. You gotta put that border together, it sort of starts to make sense of what you're going to see in the end, and you're not supposed to cheat, are you? Because you're not supposed to look at the cover to see what the puzzle is supposed to look like. That's if you're a real serious puzzler. This is an interesting story. And I will tell you this, that as you look at the details, you begin to come away with a concept of what is being said if you just look at the details. There are some little things that you can miss easily. And I will tell you that in the study of this, I have learned a few things that will cause me to preach it a little bit differently than I have perhaps in the past. But I want you to begin with Hebrews 12 first. Why would we study that? Because in the book of Hebrews, the New Testament, he explains to us what we need to come away with. That's the direction of the story for the New Testament church. The direction of the story is, watch out lest certain things happen to you like happened with Esau. Esau didn't get it. Others got parts of it, but Esau didn't get any of it. So he wasn't lily white. He was called a profane person for a reason. He didn't recognize what God values. And so what happens? Roots of bitterness start to spring up. Why? Because we don't value what God values. Problems with being profane or secular. That's the word secular. The idea of things that are spiritual don't really matter much. That's pretty current in our society, isn't it? The church seems to be filled with this disease of everything secular and okay and nothing spiritual and matters. It's a problem. So what's God going to teach us? Well, we have the hint. It helps give you the border in Hebrews 12. Now let's go back and start turning all over the puzzle pieces and looking at them. See if we can figure out where they fit inside the border of this incredible story. I'm going to give you some things that these two brothers display. And to varying degrees, the mom and dad do too. Two things the brothers display. Number one, too low value of the Lord. Both brothers do this. Too low value of the Lord. Number two, too little faith to ask of the Lord. Both brothers illustrate this. Too little value of the Lord, too little faith to ask of the Lord, and doesn't the church fall into the same thing? Number three, too late smart to pursue forgiveness of the Lord. Too late smart. Too low value, too little faith, too late smart. How many of us can't say we have those problems? Don't we all struggle with this? Too low of a value of the Lord and His strength. Secularism. Too little faith. Believing what God says. So we don't ask it. And thirdly, too late smart. How many of us, as we get older, don't start scratching our heads and say, why did it take me so long to figure life out? Too late smart to pursue forgiveness of the Lord. Well, first of all, in this tale of two brothers, we see the first section, too low value of the Lord, in chapter 25, verses 24 through 34. Just 11 verses, but important stuff. God's going to give us another piece of the puzzle of the border by telling us what he tells us from verse 19 to verse 23. And I want you to catch something as it introduces the section. Now, verse 21. Now, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah was his wife conceived. Fascinating. Why? God said, Abraham, I have a promise to you. In your seed, I will bless you with land, seed, and blessing. And ultimately, the blessing will come of all nations, of all people, Jesus Christ himself. So Abraham says, where is my child? And we talked about the story of Isaac coming, the child of promise. Through Isaac, your seed will be called. Isaac comes along, has a wife, inherits the promise of Abraham. Land, seed, and blessing. Through Isaac shall your seed be called. My wife is barren. No child. Well, he had a choice. Do I sit back and do nothing, or do I pray? And he pursued the Lord, and God said, yes, you will have children. She conceived. Verse 22. Watch what happens. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this, Isaac?
Why am I in this discomfort? If everything's well, there's something going on. You know, God promised a child. I'm having a child, but something's not right. Find out what's going on. And she speaks to the Lord, verse 22. So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God's giving you a puzzle piece. Put it in place. Why does Rebecca behave the way she behaves? God says, the older will serve the younger. She's not going to forget this, is she? What woman would? Now, remember, Old Testament saints did not have the advantage that you and I have. The Holy Spirit did not indwell them. We have no excuse for foolish, ungodly behavior or poor thinking. She did not have the Holy Spirit. All she had was the information. And she has this promise from God, this statement of prophecy, the older will serve the younger. Okay, let's see who comes out first and who comes out second, and I'll know something about my kids. Wouldn't a mom think that way? And wouldn't a mom plan that way? Puzzle piece. It's a border piece. It helps you understand it. Let me take you to verse 24. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. It was like a hairy garment all over. What did you have? It's not a lizard. He's got hair. But he looks funny. He's red. He's got a lot of hair. Some kids are born hairy. Some of you youngsters don't know that, but they can be born with a lot of hair and clothes and all sorts of things. Kids are interesting. Gifts of God. They tell us a lot about ourselves. So he's like a hairy garment all over. And so they call his name Esau. His name's Red. It's tied to the redness and that color. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name is called Jacob. Part of the name Jacob holds is the idea of a heel. He's holding onto the heel. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Can you imagine having a kid when you're 60? All those pretty little sounds of pitter-patter feet. Isaac, I think, was somewhat worn out by this stage of the game. And it's kind of interesting to see how Isaac behaves as a father. As a father of two boys. One who is going to be hairy and active and in the field and busy, and the other who is going to be somebody slightly different who's got a hold of his brother's heel. Very interesting story. Verse 27, so the boy grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Now, a skillful hunter, like something like Nimrod, but it's the idea of knowing hunting. He knows his prey. He knows his quarry. He loves to be out there in the woods. He's probably got garments that are fit to be in the woods. If there was camouflage in those days, he would have it. If he had deer scent in those days, he would have had it. He would have had everything there needed that you need to have to be a good hunter and know everything about hunting. He's a man of the field. He's out there. You ever notice what people are like that are nothing but hunters? And I mean, they really have no family life, no home life. They're released into the wild and become a mountain man. They have good breath? I don't think so. Do they have good stories? Absolutely. Do they know how to get along with people? No, I don't think so. They don't have to. They belong in the woods. Do they know manners? I don't think so. You know, what we're being told here is that Esau was released to the woods where he loved to be, but there was never anything that made him have to be around people. And so he's going to behave accordingly. You know, just because you're in the woods doesn't mean you appreciate God. There are some people who talk that way. Our ecology-centered world that wants to worship creation rather than the Creator is picturing something of what Esau was like. You're not going to find God because you're in the woods. Esau is not faced with the nation, with the people, with the family, with the individuals, with the identity of what this promise is all about. He doesn't care. If anything, as he gets out there and faces a bear or faces a lion, he recognizes he might be the hunted. And so life is short, and taking lives without a sense of morality does not create in him anything of value. That's telling you about Esau. Jacob, on the other hand, is Paul told about as well. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. He became a nomad, like his father, like his grandfather. He was a nomad. He knew the life of the camp. He knew the life of the family and the inner workings of it. So therefore, he's a man of peaceful habits. Esau, on one hand, totally different than his brother. Man of peaceful habits. Now, was he a sissy? Absolutely not. Was he cultured, or did he understand people and events, and did he stick around with people and have to deal with people issues? Absolutely. And so we know something about him. He was called a peaceful man. He was a man, a mild man within the house. Did you ever have a brother that was one or the other of these? Take these things to heart, won't you? As we learn about these individuals, you may have been like an Esau, or you may have been like a Jacob. Learn what you can from the individuals in the story here. Look at these puzzle pieces. Notice what happens. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. And Rebekah loved Jacob. Well, Jacob was the relational person. He was around. She could count on him. Esau was gone for weeks on an end, and you never knew whether he was coming back. So there's going to be a natural pull to a mom's heart because she has a relationship with him. Esau, there's no relationship, but Isaac liked what Esau did because in the Hebrew language, Esau's food was in Isaac's mouth. That's literally what it says. His food was in his mouth. Well, you know, it's pretty cool to taste that wild game. Esau is 60 plus. Isaac is 60 plus. He's getting older. He can't do the hunting, but boy, does that meat taste good. Right? You get a picture of the household. And too low value of the Lord. Here's where it comes in. Now, Jacob cooked a stew. He seized a seething. He was boiling up the stew, and it smelled good. And it was filled with lentils. That's what we find in verse 34. And Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew. In the Hebrew language, it's like this. Please give me some of that red stuff there. That's what he says. So he comes in from the field. He's been hunting. Give me some of that red. His name's Edom, Esau. Remember the name Adam? Edom. They're much the same. Redness, red dirt, red clay. Give me some of that red. That's why his name is Esau, and Edom is Edom to this day. I am weary. So therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright. This very day. Puzzle. Why? Why would he do that? For all these years, Jacob has been sitting at the dinner table with Isaac. And Jacob knows from Isaac and Rebekah that there is this promise of God. He's the relational one, and he knows that there is a family call. The family call is land, seed, blessing. Ultimately blessing all nations in the Messiah. And Isaac has heard it from his father. He's there to pass along to his sons. And Esau's not home to hear it. Why do we need family? Why do we need genocide? There's value to it. Passing along value. Esau's nowhere to be found. But Jacob has heard about this blessing. Esau's out there in the woods, not socializing. Whatever case it is, his clothes smell like the field, and they're probably rough garments. So there he is, out there in the field. What about this promise thing? Who's going to do it? Is Esau going to do this? Is this valuable or not? So Jacob has too low of a value of God, just like Esau, because he doesn't go to the Lord about this. He takes matters into his own hands. So he says, Esau says, give me some of that red stuff. Jacob says, okay, I'll do that, but first, give me a birthright. The right of the firstborn. That would be inheriting the promises from the father. The double promise. Now, God had already said what was going to happen. The older will serve the younger. I wonder if Rebecca had told Jacob. I don't know. But I do know this. Jacob said, I want that blessing. I want to be the one through whom these promises come. So he takes matters in his own hands and he says, sell me your birthright this day. Esau says, look, I'm about to die. Now, was this because he was so hungry from the field he wasn't smart enough to eat something while he was out there? No. But it seems to be the idea that he's saying, look, I'm a hunter. I could die at any minute. I could be way out there in the wilderness, get bitten by a snake, and at the end, what does this matter, this birthright thing? I really don't care. Do I want to inherit this tent and all these animals and all this responsibility? I want to be out there. I don't care about this. I'm going to die anyway. What does it matter?
The law of value of the Lord and what the Lord had said. So, Jacob, verse 33, said, swear to me as of this day. So he gave a solemn oath to him and sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob gave Esau bread, to a little. Now here is Esau's response, the profane one, and listen to me, Christian. Be careful that you are not like this, just going through life. He gave him this, swore to Jacob, got his bread, got his stew. He ate, drank, rose, and went. Like he was brushing his teeth. Didn't matter at all. Do spiritual things matter to you? Or do you too have too low a value of the Lord? You may say, well, I'm like Esau. I like to hunt. I'm like Esau. I'm a man's man. Do not be like Esau in this, where you have too low a value of the Lord. Because even though, Hebrews tells us, though he pursued repentance with tears, he couldn't have it. You couldn't go back. The older we get, the more we realize we burn up time. We can't go back. Do not be profane like Esau. He despised, it says, his birthright. I think it's interesting here to see Jacob and Esau. Neither one of them are lily white. But we recognize as we look at these puzzle pieces and turn them over that we're learning about a flawed family, but on the same token, there are also lessons that we can learn. Let me take you to chapter 27. Two brothers display too low a value of the Lord. They display too little faith, and we're going to have to jump through this as quickly as we can. But in chapter 27, 1 through 30, there are some interesting things that transpire. We will find here too little faith to ask of the Lord. Rebekah doesn't pray. Isaac doesn't pray. Jacob doesn't pray. Of course, Esau doesn't pray. But Isaac wants to do what was the normal thing. Isaac says, I want to bless my son, my firstborn. This was something that fathers always want to do. Pass along something of value. In their day, it was very valuable to pass along a blessing that in God's word would turn into a prophecy and a blessing from the Lord, because he's the only one that can outlive Isaac. Isaac can't be there to make this happen. But Isaac loves his son Esau, and he says to Esau, I want you to be blessed. I want to make this a special ceremony. We're going to have a good meal. I want you to go out there in the field, and I want you to bring back something that you have killed, and let's have a celebration meal together, and I want to bless you. Rebecca overhears the conversation. She hears Isaac say to his son, I want to bless you. And she says, and the gears start to turn. God said, the older will serve the younger. I don't want Isaac to get this wrong. I want to make sure that Jacob really does receive a blessing. And you know, I want you to notice something that's very important to the puzzle pieces. Look at verse 4. Here's what Isaac said to Esau. Make me savory food, such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, notice this. Rebekah says to Jacob these words, trying to say, this is what Isaac said to Esau. Verse 7, bring me game, make me savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you
in the presence of Jehovah before my death. Isaac said one thing, Rebekah heard something else. Isaac said, I want to bless you, my firstborn. Rebekah, he's going to get it wrong. It's before the Lord. I don't want you to get it wrong. I need to do something about this. So she crafts a deceit. And you know the story from Sunday school. What is it? Verse 8. Now therefore my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock. Bring me from there two choice kids of goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. She's been married 60 years. She knows what he likes. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. Jacob sees a few red flags. Oh, wait a minute, Mom. I'm not hairy like Esau. The plan hatches in her mind. Well, we're going to be killing some kids. We're going to put that kid skin on you so he can feel the hair. I don't smell like Esau. Well, you're going to wear some of the garments that are here in the house. They're rough. They smell like the fields. They're probably kind of like what Esau would smell like. No question. Well, but Mom, what if he's more concerned about being caught than the deceit? Does he pray? No. Does Rebecca pray? No. Does Isaac pray? No. Does Esau pray? Certainly not. There's a problem. There's too little faith to ask of God. Didn't Rebecca know what God said? Absolutely. Didn't Jacob know that he had bought the birthright? Absolutely. Didn't do it right. Remember this, Christian. Two wrong do not make a right. Doing the wrong thing, the wrong way, does not bring the right answer. To bring about the right answer is not what God blesses. It's not what God intends. Isn't God powerful enough to make sure that his line and his promise will be? Yes. But what happened? They didn't go to him. Two little things. We know the story. Isaac is there. Jacob comes in with the food. Wow, you caught the deer pretty quickly. There's a little problem in the mind of Isaac. How could it be that fast? And if you go through the story, you'll see some wonderful little details in the puzzle that will help you see what was going on. Isaac has some red flags. Well, it doesn't sound like Jacob's voice. Or it doesn't sound like Esau's voice. It sounds like Jacob. I wonder if Isaac didn't also recognize that God was in control of all this. Rebecca certainly has told him what God had said to him. Why is it like this? Well, Isaac, guess what? God spoke to me. He told me why. The older is going to serve the younger. So Isaac's not there to give to Esau something opposed to God's law. It was a blessing. And it is literally the kind of blessing that he ultimately gives Jacob that wouldn't have been good for Esau. Look at verse 27. He came near and kissed him and smelled him, the smell of his clothing, and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you, be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. What's missing in the blessing? Land, seed, and blessing. Missing the promise of the Messiah. He didn't give that. So there must have been something in the back of Isaac's mind, though he wanted to protect his firstborn. He did not go the whole direction of saying, Abraham's promise is yours, my son. He couldn't do that in good conscience. But Rebecca wanted to make sure that Jacob didn't lose out. And she did a foolish thing. She deceived her husband of 60 years. Jacob did a foolish thing. He deceived his father, expecting a blessing. Little faith to ask of the Lord. There's one more aspect that we learn from this story, and that is that they were too late smart.
From the story we know that Esau ran to his father. Actually, it's very fascinating. Jacob gets done receiving the blessing. As he's coming out, Esau is coming in with his game. He was almost caught. Esau has this fiery temper. He's obviously not a good candidate for the promised blessing. So can you imagine what the dynamics of the family were at this point? So Jacob comes out and takes off the ruse, and he is now ready to be Jacob again. Esau comes into his father, and Isaac says, "I've already blessed." Luke says there he trembled. And the Hebrew language is that he shook all over because he realized what had happened. "I have no blessing for you." Esau begins to cry and to moan and to go on. "There's got to be something left, Dad." Hebrews says, though he sought repentance with tears, he did not obtain it. He wasn't spiritual, nor was he equipped to receive the blessing, the ultimate blessing, nor did Isaac give to him the blessing of the child to come, the Messiah. No, we find that Esau got so angry, even after he did receive some kind of a blessing, which is why there's such violence, or has been such violence, in the Middle East through the years. We notice in verse 41, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand.'" He's going to die soon. "Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So you get the picture of the profane person, the wild man, the man who's not to be tamed, the man who had not taken the time to cultivate what can lead to godliness in his life. And so Esau does become the wild man whose descendants pattern themselves after. So it leads to an interesting dynamic in the home. Esau, who's never home, is the one who, because of him, Jacob, who's always home, must leave. From this story on, too little smart, too late too smart, from this story on, Rebekah never sees her son Jacob again. Never. As far as we know from Scripture, never. He must be sent away. There are the dynamics of two brothers who don't get along. Too late smart to ask of the Lord, to find forgiveness of the Lord. So Jacob runs. Isaac loses both sons. Rebekah loses the son she loves. The family's blown apart. The blessing, however, as Jacob leaves, is received. Looking forward to the Messiah. Look at verse 3 of chapter 28. "May God Almighty bless you, Jacob, and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of people, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." The blessing gets passed, ultimately, to the one God had chosen. Back when Rebekah says, "Why am I troubled?" But in the middle of it all, look at the mess the people made. Too little value, too low value of the Lord, too little faith to ask of the Lord, too late smart to ask forgiveness of the Lord. And that leads to these four take-home points for you. First of all, listen closely. Sometimes the most mundane events harbor the most profound consequences. Give me a little stew. Show me your birthright. He ate, rose, and went. So mundane, so simple, a meal. Sometimes the simple things harbor the most profound consequences. Number two, remember this. Two wrongs do not make a right. The end does not justify the means. It does matter how you accomplish what God's plan was. Do things God's way for God's results, and He will bring that which is a blessing. Two wrongs do not make a right. And yet faith has taken God at His word. They didn't do that, did they? They didn't take God at His word. They didn't go to Him and speak to Him. Number three, men mourn the evil that sin brings, but not the sin that brings the evil. Esau mourned the evil that sin brought, but did not mourn the sin that brought the evil. Are you like that? Do you not like the consequences of the actions you choose to do? But the actions don't seem to get caught on your radar screen. The actions produce consequences, and you can't get upset at the consequences without taking a notice of the action that brought about the consequences and change it. Men mourn the evil that sin brings, but not the sin that brings the evil. How is it with you? Don't like being caught. None of us do. But what is it that got you caught? What did you do? God pays attention to those things. Finally, this. Esau exchanged his birthright for some of that red stuff. Look at the consequences. Let me ask you this, number four. What are you exchanging your soul for? What are you exchanging your soul for? All you have is this life. What are you exchanging it for? What is it you are exchanging for the most valuable thing you have? What are you exchanging your soul for? Esau exchanged this birthright, this blessing of God that his grandfather had been given, that his father had been given, that was to be a blessing for all the nations. He didn't care. It didn't matter. He could die someday anyway. And so for all that red stuff, he gave up the blessing. How about you? What are you giving up for all that red stuff? Has God awakened you so that you're not a profane person, that no root of bitterness is springing up in you, that there is this hand of God upon you because things that matter to God matter to you? Is that your life, or is there something wrong? Are you like Isaac, who didn't go to God? Or are you like Rebecca, trying to engineer things but didn't go to God? Are you like Esau, who just didn't care? Or you're like Jacob, who followed along because he knew he wanted that promise, but he just didn't know how to do it right. Which one are you? Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, or Jacob? Is the puzzle making sense? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would waken us to your truth. Help us to be faithfully walking with you and begging of you to give us spiritual insight. Are we selling our soul for something cheap? Are we living with too low a value of the Lord, or too little faith to ask of God, or too late smart to go to forgiveness, for full forgiveness from the Lord? Father, we thank you that there is yet breath in our lungs, and there is yet blood coursing through our veins, for you give us today to repent, to walk with you. As one without Christ, I ask that you draw them to yourself. Make them fill you for peace in the soul, which has been bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. For believers, Father, may we not be like Esau. May we instead be like your Son. Obedient, in humble obedience, faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.